Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का। घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का। कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने। हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो।
अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह नहमदुहु व नुसल्ली अला रसूलिल करीम। अस्सलामु अलैकुम व रहमतुल्लाहि व बरकातुहु। एस्टीम लिसनर्स ऑफ सीरियस एफएम एंड मरकज सहाबा द वॉइस ऑफ अहले सुन्ना वल जमा, वी वेलकम यू टू दिस प्रोग्राम द ब्लेस ऑफ मैरिज। टुडेस डेट इज द 22nd ऑफ मुहर्रम 1443 कोरिस्पोंडिंग टू द डेट 31st August 2021। We feel incapable to take the limelight from Fadilatul Ustad Mulana Arafat Hatia, and we encourage our listeners to send their queries to the number 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, you'll send the number to +27847863132. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Mawlana Zaid Khan, Jazakallahu Khairan. Our brother Maulana Arafat had some important work, so he's gone. He's well, Alhamdulillah. They'll be back tomorrow, Insha'Allah Al-Aziz. Today, the 22nd of Muharram 1443 and 31st of August 2021, every true Muslim should diarize it. It was the day of a great, great victory to the Muslims. The Taliban, mashallah, are in control of the entire Afghanistan, and America, UK, US, and the NATO forces all humiliated, and every one of them had to pack up and go. We say good riddance to them. First crime they committed, they had no business to be there in the first place to invade it. And second, this was the longest war that America participated in, and they lost absolutely $90 billion arms, ammunition in the hands of the Taliban, and already they started using all the modern technology and all the modern, mashallah, helicopters and what have you are now there flown by the Afghans. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala give them tawfiq to make the right decisions and implement the Islamic law. I just want to read for you one verse of the noble Quran. وَيَوْمَ إِذِي يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And that is Surah number 33. When the believers are victorious, then the true believers are happy. Therefore, we should be happy today that the Taliban taught the West a lesson they will never ever forget. Taught India a lesson they will never ever forget. So you must remember now, all their analysts and all their apologetic people will try and cover up this happened, that happened, and so forth and so on. The fact of the matter is Taliban beat them, humiliated them. Allah Jalla Wala disgraced them. Tu'til mulka man tasha, وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah gives power, authority to whomever He wishes. Allah gives countries to whoever He wishes. He humiliates whoever He wants. He honors whoever He wants. Today, Alhamdulillah, the Taliban are victorious. The Americans, the NATO, and all of them, UK, humiliated, disgraced. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant our Mujahideen victory in all parts of the world, whether it be in the land of Palestine, occupied Palestine, against the apartheid regime of Israel, or whether it be in Syria against the Kuffar, Shias and Alawis there, remember, in Syria, or whether it be in Kashmir against the idol worshippers. So wherever whatever it is, may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant them victory.
Mufti Sahib, the first question here is, a person says that I'm newly married. When I go shopping with my husband, I find it difficult to ask him to buy me what I want. My husband doesn't give me allowance. Please advise if a husband should be giving his wife allowance. If is it a wife's right?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It seems that you, sister, you are newly married and so forth. That's the impression, perception I get. But anyway, so the mahar, remember the marital gift your husband gave you. You are the sole owner of that, and you don't have to spend that money for the house or for his needs and what have you. That is your personal money. Second one is this: should the husband give some allowance and so forth weekly or monthly to his wife? And he should not ask her too many questions regarding that. So we call that the akhlaqi fariza, that we call, you must remember, a moral issue. It is an ethical issue. So yes, remember that. We will say it is a moral obligation that every husband should give his wife. When we were very, very young, you know, I'm speaking of 55, 60 years ago, so we used to get a tiki. I don't know if people even know what's a tiki. Tiki is 2.5 cent coin we used to get. But money had a lot of barakat those days. Then when we got a little bigger, we used to get 5 cents. Then we got a little bigger, 10 cents. Our parents, father, mother would give, then 20 cents. If we got 1 rand, it was like eat day for us. You must remember that. So that is how the parents would train the children as well. So similarly, you, the husband, the wife is making so many sacrifices. She left the parental home. She left the place of her birth. She left the siblings to spend the remainder of her life. She's 20 years old. Right till she's 60, 70, 80, 100. Allah alone knows how long she will love, you will love. But that is the aim and objective. So we should be also magnanimous and without her asking, tell her, darling, honey, take this money and so forth and so on. So yes, remember, it is a moral obligation. Now, to answer your question directly, it's very easy. You know that you're going shopping tomorrow, first of the month. So it's not a good time to go because everybody, everything is so busy. But anyway, I'm just giving an example. So already tonight, you and your hubby, you should sit and make the list of priorities. We need sugar, we need flour, we need oil, we need this, we need that, we need that. Then you must speak to your honey. You have to also butter him up, you know, and tell him, you know, I also have certain needs, and you add 1, 2 things. So maybe you add 3, 4 things there, then he will say, no, that, you know what, you don't need this, you don't need this, but this one we can. So it's all about negotiation and bargaining also a little bit. So in that way, inshallah. But if you're going to go to the shop, and now at the shop you're going to tell him, he might just blow his gasket and get confused and blow your fuses also. So therefore, remember planning. And with planning, that you must see how's his mood and everything also. That's the time you speak to him about these type of issues. But the husband should give their wife some extra money, remember that, for their own personal needs.
Mufti Sahib, a listener says, or person says, that how can I make my spouse the happiest in the world?
Remember, you can make your wife, your spouse, your husband the happiest if you have 3-4 qualities in your life. Number one is this: we have true iman. And what that iman, we have righteous deeds. That is the divine prescription. That is what Almighty Allah teaches us in the Noble Quran. Today everybody wants to speak of peace and harmony and so forth. So in that they trample upon the Sharia. In that they make a mockery of the Sharia. No, not that. Almighty Allah taught us a divine recipe, a divine prescription, Surah Maryam, chapter number 19 and verse number 96. Write it down, chapter 19 and verse 96. Innal ladhina amanu, verily those people of true iman, pakka sacha iman, true devoted dedicated Muslim and mu'min and mu'mina, wa amilu salihat, we continue with the righteous deeds. Not Friday comes, then we are pious. Ramadan comes, we are pious. Ashura comes, then we pious. And now weekend comes, holiday comes, we play, all hell break loose. No. So at all times, all places, the piety, the righteous action must continue. So that is the foundation for what? Sayaja'alu lahumur rahmanu wudda. Soon Almighty Allah will place for you wudda, the true love. The wife will gravitate to the husband will gravitate to the wife. When you meet one another, embrace one another, you will always find the body heat. It's not only the body's meeting, but the heart's meeting. And when the hearts meet, there's unity of thought. Both of you are going in the same direction. So that is recipe number one, prescription number one, mentioned in Surah 19, chapter 19, Surah Maryam, the chapter on Mary, Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu anha, and Hudda, verse 96. So that is Surah 19, verse 96. Number two, that remember Quran Kareem addresses all the husbands. I'm a husband, Mona Zaid is a husband, this one is a husband, all. So what do we do? Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Treat your wives, remember, with what? With love, with equity, justice. The problem today is what? That we want to use and show the people we are good. But our wives and children, they know another story, because they know our private life, our secret life. So Islam says that what will be the barometer? The barometer will be, if the wife or wives and children say that person is good, then by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person is good. And if the wife and children say he's bad, and the people say he's good, so by Allah and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person is bad. Because they know what he does inside his house and how he treats his wife. Now our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, what she says? She says, khayrukum khayrukum li'ahu. She said, Nabi alayhi salam said, so Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam said, khayrukum khayrukum li ahlikum wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and to your children. And I, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam, am the best to my wives and my children. So in Islam, you must remember, we mustn't worry about people. That's where we go wrong. We must worry about what will Almighty Allah say, what will Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam say, and how are we treating the lady. So therefore, remember, you married her, why? Limaliha, for her wealth. Wali jamaliha, for her beauty. Wali hasabiha, for her rank and status and good family and what have you. Wali diniha, for her piety, for her good character. She will become the mother of your children and so forth. Fadfar bi dhati deen. Then only you'll be successful when you gave the Islam, the character, the correct belief structure, preference. Hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif, Mustafa Ahmad, various compilations. So each one of us, that is what we should do. And you, the wife, remember, don't be over demanding, and don't be such that already you're looking at your mother-in-law with a toxic and poisonous eye. So remember, that is where all the friction starts. You should go with that. My husband, I'm to win him over. My mother-in-law also, I will win her over. So how are you going to win your mother-in-law over? Then Urdu, these nice sayings, they say khidmat se khuda milta hai. Go the extra mile and then you will see your mother-in-law will praise you, your husband will see what you are doing, and then he will give you the credit card, debit card and all the cards he got. You understand? So that is how you must learn some tactics also. But today we don't do that. So what we do, anything mother-in-law said 6 months, 3 months now is all bad blood. And then some commotion takes place, then both of them are crying. So the husband comes home, He looks at his mother, she got her story. He looks at his wife, she got her story. He is torn between loyalties. One side is my mother, one side is my wife. Now he doesn't know where to turn. So because remember that we cause so many problems also. So everyone love and let love, inshallah, within the parameters of Sharia. So our problem today is we want to break the laws of Sharia and we say we want happiness. The easy example that this is poison and we keep on taking it. And then we crying to Allah, Ya Allah, give Shifa. So how will that happen then? So we must remember that we're taking poison and we're saying that Ya Allah, cure me. So that is where we are going wrong.
Mufti Saab, with regards to in-laws, a person asks, is it fine to visit the in-laws every second week as there's more peace between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law while allowing the hubby and kids going every week?
Remember, this is all again, where are you, where are you staying? If you're staying in the same town or just very nearby, 5-10 kilos away or something, so it's good. Once a week, once in 2 weeks, once a month, you must remember that. So everybody is got independent. Everybody is loving but respectfully and love and so forth. So it's fine. And sometimes if you can't make it, then you, the wife, don't blow your gasket and everything. So fine, we can't go this week. We'll go next week. It's no big deal in all that. So you are going once a week or once every fortnight or once a month and so forth. Think about those people who are 500, 600 kilometers away. You are here in Johannesburg. Your parents are there in Durban or Port Shepstone and so forth. Speaking of Port Shepstone, our Mawlana Abdullah Kadwa passed away. Allah Jalla Wala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. I knew him very well. Allah Jalla Wala make it easy. Last yesterday he passed away. Allah Jalla Wala grant him Jannatul Firdaus, grant his family Sabre Jameel. Anyway, so how often you can go? Once in a year or so. Then you go further. What about those people overseas? There, the parents are now in India, Pakistan, here in Kenya, Mozambique, and wherever. So you can't hardly visit them once in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. So we all should take all this into consideration as well. So Islam will say, bil ma'aruf, everything must be done according to the norm. So remember, don't be over demanding and so forth.
Mufti Saab, if the distance is 40, 50 kilometers, then what rights do the parents enjoy upon the child if he's married?
So you must remember this, the hadith is authentic in Mustadrak Hakim. Anything you want to know, you will find in the Quran Sharif, you will find in the Sunnah Mubarakah, you will find in the Fatawa verdicts of the beloved Sahaba and companions of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you will find the verdict within the four schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, Rahimahumullah. So yeah, you must remember that now you are married and your parents are 40, 50 kilometers away from you. So the first thing we must know, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the Hajjatul Wida, the sermon there, Inna Allah qad a'ata kulla dhi haqqin haqqa. Verily Almighty Allah has given everyone who's eligible to the rights, Allah has fulfilled their rights. So that is number one point already. That the daughter must not say, no, I got rights but I don't have enough. The son must not say, no, I want more. No. That is na shukri and being ungrateful. One. Number two, so that hadith you will find in Mishkat Sharif and so forth. Second one, this hadith of Mustadrak Hakim is this. And this is again where we go wrong. Inna a'adham an-nasi haqqan ala rajul ummuhu. I am married, I have my wife, and I have my mother. My mother passed away, rahimahallah, Allah grant Jannatul Firdaus in 97. But the point I'm making is this. So when you have a wife and you have a mother, so my affinity, my love, my all that is for more for my wife or more for my mother? Is more for my mother. So it means daytime, whatever errands I have to run, whatever does I have to buy, she needs medication, I must do it daytime. Nighttime is for your wife and your children. That is what Islam is teaching. For the husband, that is. وَإِنَّ أَعْضَمَ النَّاسِ حَقًا عَلَى الْمَرْأَى زَوْجُهَا. You, my sister, when you were single, Then you were with your parents, and now you got married. So after you got married, remember the one who's got the greatest rights over you is no more your parents, is your husband now. So if your husband tells you once a month, once in 6 weeks we will go, because you don't want to go every week or second, so it's fine. You can't be complaining and all these things here. If he says it's 40, 50 kilos, we'll go once a month or once in 5, 6 weeks, it's fine. So he's not committing a sin or anything. And if they, the nana and nani, the maternal grandparents want, they can also come once every second week, third week, fourth week to come play with the grandchildren or meet the daughter and so forth, because the distance is not so far. So it's a give and take situation. But now our people are like this. That's where all the trouble starts. So no, you must come every week. You must come every second week. And that's where all, when we become over demanding, you must say, come whenever is easy for you, and we will visit you whenever is convenient for us. So it's a give and take situation.
Mufti Saab mentioned about standing between mother and wife. The listener says, how did Mufti Saab know this, and what should a man do in that situation?
So you must remember, what is Islam? Islam is a deen. Every day you are reading it. The people, they ask, you know, how you know this, how you know this. I don't have a crystal ball here or anything. I don't read people's, you understand? So I don't even know what you are, who you are and what you are. But Allah Ta'ala give us through His fadl, grace and mercy, some experience, some insight, some foresight also. So you can understand what are the problems, the masses, the public affairs facing with. So that is how, and we have to be fair. Now this is where I start with this answer now. So what is Islam? Maliki yawmiddin. So English, they don't translate this word properly. Deen means justice. So Allah Jalla Wala is the sole possessor, owner of the day of justice. In deena, in the lail Islam. And you will see deen everywhere in Quran, hadith is singular, is never plural. What is the secret and asrar of that, the wisdom of that? To show you there's only one religion that is accepted by Almighty Allah, and that is Deenul Islam. There's no adyan. Therefore, this whole business of interfaith and all that is absolutely haram, where the participants are saying that all the religions are on par and equal. So that is haram already. Yes, you go for a meeting like that, you must make it clear that we say, Al-Islamu ya'alu wa la yu'ula. The hadith in Dara Qutni. Remember that Islam is always superior and nothing can be above Islam. So that is 100% what our belief is. So we need to draw a distinction. Now see that when we say Islam is justice, what it means? Whether it's political justice, social justice, economic justice. So, now you are the husband, you are the son. One side is your mother, one side is your wife. So what do you have to do? You have to be just to all parties. You can't be turning only your mother's side because she add so much masala and spice, and you can't be only adding it, looking at your wife's story and so forth, because she will be crying and emotional and so forth and so on. So now when a woman cries sometimes, not all but many a time, so you must remember is to soften you up. وَجَاءُ أَبَاهُمْ إِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. You see Quran. So Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, what the brothers did, they dumped him, threw him in the well. And then they got a hold of some animal there and so forth. They slaughtered it, and then they took the blood, took out his kurta before they dumped him in the well, and then they smeared the blood on that kurta mubarak of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Then they came to father and said, Akalahu zib, one wolf ate him up. And father said, such a clever wolf, then nowhere the kurta got any holes or is not torn anywhere. So therefore he knew. So what he said, bidamin kadib, the blood was also fabrication, and their crying was also lies. Waja'u abahum isha, they came isha time to create the perception, we were looking, now we can't find him. You see, so Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam knew. So sometimes this type of crying is makkar. In Yemen, we use the word makr in its Arabic word death. So, وَلَا يَحِيكُ الْمَكْرُ سَيُّ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِ. When I was very young, so I don't want to go to school, right? So, you know, we see we want to dop in Afrikaans. We want to dop school. We want to play truant. So then I tell my mother and that to my father. Father shouldn't worry. He say, just sleep, is all right. So he say that, yes, then I say, pet duketo, my stomach is paining or something. Then make some fairy tale story. 5, 6, 7 years old, for example. So you know, say, no, he makar kareto. He's making all, he's just pretending. There's nothing wrong with him, you see. So these people, they do like that sometimes. They want you to solve. So you, husband, you must go with your mother, get her story, sift out all the exaggeration, propaganda, go to your wife and get her story, and then you must be the peacemaker and so forth. So you have to be the diplomat in between, and you have to be just. The hadith, remember, kama tadinu tudan. So as you treat people, so you'll be treated. So ad-dayyanu la yamut. Allah's one attribute is dayyan. He is the most just, and he will never ever died. He is all Hayyul Qayyum, is ever living. He was, he is, he will always be. Death is for me and you, creation, not for Allah the Khaliq. So therefore, that is what you have to do. You have to be the diplomat and the ambassador, and always use that as the trump card of yours. I need to be just to both parties. Both are special people in my life. One is my beloved mother and one is my beloved wife. So that is what you need to do.
We return back to this program. We welcome our listeners. The next question, Mufti Saab, is we are very strict about parda, and especially for my wife, but as we are living in one joint family, I cannot follow the Sharia of parda at home. What should I do in this instance? And I'm aware of my brother-in-law, yet that is deaf. Please advise and give a solution, Mufti Saab.
The brother-in-law is?
He's deaf. Deaf.
Deaf.
He's referring to the hadith, death, mode.
Death. Okay. So what, let's clarify the question first. So you must remember that, yeah, they're living together in one house. So there's a husband, there's a wife, and the husband's brother is there. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Alhamdu al-maut, that how you fear death, you should fear the brother-in-law, the husband's brother. So that is the meaning of the hadith. It's authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif and so forth. So in a case like that, the best thing for you to do will be, understand this, always must understand how Islam works. So first thing you must write down is Surah 2, verse 286. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah Jalla wala will never burden any human being, any jinn for that matter, because we are mukallaf, we are given the obligations and the rules and regulations. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah will never impose upon you what is beyond your ability, capability, capacity. Therefore, we say taklif ma la yutaq is not permissible in Islam. Islam will never impose upon you something beyond your ability. So you yourself must have that feeling, jazba, zeal, enthusiasm. I want to implement it. I want to practice on it. So you say that, no, I can't practice on it because the husband is there, the husband's brother is there, and so forth and so on. So we must remember that is not a valid excuse. So what do we do in a case like that? So you and your wife, you move out. You must remember that your brother is there, your mother is there, your parents are there, whoever. So even if you have to get the outbuilding, even if you get a flat and so forth, when I went to Newcastle, come and tell you a story. Your love stories, you know, mashallah. So I went to Newcastle, Darul Uloom. First of all, I left and I went to Newcastle, you know. I landed in South Africa on the November 2nd. So we went for Hajj and all that, my wife, myself, in 1980, this is. So it was her first. We got married and then she came and all that. So anyway, so I performed Hajj already in 75. So in 80, so now she performed Hajj all. So we landed in South Africa, 2nd November. So I told her that, you know what, these 2 months we must visit our families, you must visit your family, I'll visit mine, and then wherever I'm to start, we will start January 81, inshallah. Then December, my brother-in-law from Durban, my sister, they came in 1980. So I told them, you know what, you're going back and I'm jumping in with you all. I didn't have a car and all that. But you can't take Free State Road. We must go via Newcastle. So they asked, but why? So I said, no, there's a Darul Uloom there and I must go. I didn't phone Maulana, nothing. You know, I just took a chance with Allah's help. So we got lost. In Newcastle also we got lost. Finding the Darul Uloom also we got lost. And Madrasa was closed also. It was maybe around mid-December or somewhere there. So anyway, first time in my life I met Maulana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah. And I told him that this is my certificate, and I told him I studied here and there. He was not impressed at all, you know, Maulana Sema. Then, lo and behold, that when I was studying there in Karachi, so one day I was 94, 95 years old he was, you know, Hazrat Maulana Aziz Ahmad Bihari, Rahimahullah. And we his last students, 1400 Islamically, 1980 it was, Gregorian calendar. While teaching, he looked at me one day, Molvi Abdul Qadir Afriki, Afrika jaakar kya karoge? He used to speak like that. He said, Molvi Abdul Qadir Afrika, from African, you know, when you go Africa, what you going to do? So I used to call him Hazrat, old he was. So I said, Hazrat, suna hai waha ek Darul Uloom hai, you know. That I heard there's a Darul Uloom there, and Muhtamim sahab Maulana Qasim Sema hai. Said, acha, wo to mere shagird hai. So I told him there's a Darul Uloom and the principal. He said, that's my student. So subhanallah, Maulana Sema went in 1935 to Darbel and he came back in 1944. I remember clearly, vividly, when he used to get angry with the students, he would say, I spent 9-10 years in India, not one day I came home. And you want to run home every 1 month, every 6 months and all that, you know. So anyway, cut long story short. So I met Maulana, this, that. So before I left for Hajj and that, so I told Hazrat Maulana Aziz, now Maulana Aziz Ahmad taught Maulana Qasim Sema in 1937. Can you believe 1937? And he's teaching me in 1980 and all that. So cut long story short, and then he passed away also. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. He used to like me a lot also. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Anyway, so I told him, Hazrat, main ja raha hoon Hajj padne ke liye aur phir Africa. Agar Maulana Sema sahab ke liye aap kuch khat wagaira de dijiye to meherbani hogi. So he wrote, obviously till now I don't know what he wrote. It was sealed and everything. So I could see Maulana Sema was not very much impressed. So I took out that letter and I said, Hazrat, yes, Hazrat Maulana gave letter for you. He said, what? Maulana is still alive in teaching. I said, yes, but now Hazrat, he took taqawu, that is a retirement and all that, finished now. So Hazrat must have written something good. Same time Maulana turned his whole chute around. So he said, no, for you we'll have mashura now. I'll tell you, you'll understand what's happening and all that. So the madrasa is going to open on Tuesday. You see, that is maybe 16, 17, 18, 19 or somewhere of January 1981. So that Saturday afternoon, Maulana Qasim Sema phoned. My father was there. I was gone out. So that time, no, all the cell phone and that. So when I came back, my father, Allah give Jannatul Firdaus, he passed away Ramadan 82. So he told me this, that time used to all make Molvi Sahab, you know. They say this Molvi Sahab phone and you must contact him. So I knew it's Maulana Sema. So I phoned him everything and I said, gee, he said, acha, we made Mashura, does that. There's some people here, they know you, they know your family, all that. The very good reference, you must come. But you must come alone. You mustn't come with your wife, nothing. Yahan makano ki bohat killat hai. There's very few houses available. So I said, no problem. I just wanted to get in. So that Tuesday or Monday and that I went through. So alhamdulillah, then I used to stay there when Maulana Mansoor Ulhaq, Maulana Mumtaz Ulhaq, you know, our Pakistani teacher, Maulana Mumtaz Ulhaq passed away. Maulana Mansoor Ulhaq is still there, nice in Rustenburg. So anyway, we must remember that. So I stayed there because they were going to Pakistan. But I used to eat by Maulana. Then I found out who's the main person here who's got houses. So it was Osman Tar. He also passed away in America. Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. So I went, Newcastle small, so I just found out this, that, so I went. I said, Osman Baki, I this, that, all that. I'm a new person, new teacher here and all that. So he looked at me. I told him 2-3 names. He said, right, I know your whole family now. So I said, Ghar Kapeba, I need a house. He said, I got the house, take the key.
So I said, Subhanallah, the Most Ever told me there's no houses here. The man is dealing with it. I said, wait now, let me go speak. So I went to Most Ever. I told him, Maulana, mujhe to ghar mil gaya. We used to speak Urdu, the 20 years right through. We used to only speak Urdu at Maulana. Maulana's Urdu was perfect, English master also. But I used to like speaking Urdu because Maulana's Urdu was very good. So anyway, so he said, you come yesterday and today you got a house. So where you got a house? I said, Osman Tar. I said, is your collection? I said, yes, somehow, you know, 45. So I said, yeah, go now and get the key. So this is the lesson I want to share with you. So the house I got was a bachelor flat. Understood? That you have one kitchen, you have one bathroom, one toilet, and one bedroom. Finish. You know? I just wanted to get in. So I stayed there that week, and then Saturday also I came. We filled up the van, the truck. What? It isn't a truck, it's just a small van. And we didn't have much stuff also. All we're going to buy there. And then we went. So that is how. So in life, you start like that. If I tell you how we lived in Karachi, so you must remember, we never had stove. We never, for 1 year, no stove, no fridge, no bed, no microwave, all that you can't dream about. So we should just sleep on a mattress. And then there, that Shamim Bhai, you must remember, he was our landlord. The day he came there, I was the first tenant to move in. I still remember that he took, well, you know how do you do illegal connections here? So he just pulled one wire from there to there and say, so I said, Shamim Bhai, wo kiraya kitna hai? He said, 600 rupiah. So I said, see, me to Molvi hu, I'm becoming Molvi sab here. I can't do all those unda dandas you doing upside down, pull one. He said, you don't worry, because you're the big shot there in the electrical department. He say, "Ko bhi aajay kaha ke Shamim Bhai ka makan hai." So, nobody came. So I say, I make intention, I'm paying you 600 rupees for the rent and the water lights. And he say, about the cha and this type of thing. So that's how you know. So how you live, they're small little place, but you're comfortable. Then you grow from there and all these type of things there. So that is how you must do. So you can find a small place also, but you can practice on your deen. So subhanallah, don't go for big place in the start. Everything Allah will give you slowly. But that's how the couple will appreciate one another. When Haji Bhai Padia came there, Haji Abu Bakr Arbi came and this and that. So now 3-4 Bhai Mota used to come with Jamaat. So they came to my house and all that, because he knows my in-laws and all of them very well. So now we must give them tea. So there's only 2 cups and 2 saucers and 2 teaspoons. And there's 4 of them. So I put the 2. So Bhai Mota was very sharp. He said that how you living here, you must live in South Africa like that also. We just make G. So what I'm trying to say, that in life, learn these things, and then you and your wife, you will grow together, go together. Allah will give you everything because you want to practice on deen. So always remember that.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, a person says that my wife feels worked up and cooked up in the house. Where can I take her that will be Sharia compliant on weekends, or what can I do as activities?
So mashallah, take her to her mother's house. She'll feel very happy there. So you must remember that. So you take her there. If her mother's house is nearby, 1 hour's drive, this, that. So say, darling, come, we're going today. So she'll say, where? So you tell her mother's house. And then she say, where? You say, your sister's house. You say, where? Your brother's house. And this type of thing. So that's on a lighter note. So other places you can take her, mashallah. So in Islam, it's not that you can't take your wife out, and that you take her out. But Allah's help, my wife visited more than 60 countries. I visited 70 countries or more with Allah's help. So it depends now on the halat and so forth. I can't tell you go for Umrah and that. You know, there's a lot of stories there. So main thing is that once in a while, you must take them out. You must remember that. That you just say we're going somewhere for a drive or something and this and all these type of things. So it's fine, you know. When I went to New Zealand, so that chap told me, come, I want to show you something about the birds. So I told my wife, come on, this person is telling me there's something we must see. So we went then. My wife, myself, the driver and all. Subhanallah, this bird is something, you know, if you go to New Zealand, but the season must be right. These birds, they fly from Australia. like a plane, you know. They fly from Australia and then they come to New Zealand and then they park off there in New Zealand for, I can't remember exactly now, 1 month, 2 months, whatever. And thereafter, and it's thousands of them and they're all by the beach, by the sea, you know. And they're all parking there. Like, you know, in Durban, South Coast, you get the sardine rush. So this is the bird rush. But they come from Australia. So from Australia, so things like that you must remember. So the iman also will increase. You make the fakkur, you wonder, ponder, you must remember in the creation of Allah. It's not every day you have to take, or every week you have to take your wife, come darling, we take you shopping, this, that. Then our outlook of life also becomes very materialistic then. So look at more and more the creation of Allah to appreciate the greatness and majesty of Almighty Allah. Awalam yatafakkaru. Why do they don't ponder in the creation of Allah? So many places, inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard la ayatil li ulil albab. Allah says that's the sign of the intelligent people. So yes, you must take your wife out once in a while, but remember that you take her to such a place where both your iman. Now you say, let's go to the beach. Now you know what is there. The all the women are there, three-quarter naked, what, are whole naked and all. So now you say, no, I took her for a drive. But you take her for a drive to such a place where Allah's la'anat is coming and Allah's curse is coming. So how can that be justified? So we also must think a little bit, you know.
Mufti Saab, a graduate of Alim, says that how do I balance my time? I have a lot of jazba and desire to do a lot of mutala and do more khidmat of deen, but where do I draw the balance with my children and my wife and my kitabs and khidmat of deen?
MashaAllah, very good question. First and foremost, if you're still studying and you're not finished, then remember you start doing it now. And even if you graduated, you start doing it. Start from today. Start from tonight. Start tonight is very good. See, anything you start on a Wednesday, it is more barakah and blessing. So where the dalil for that? Open Maqasid al-Hasana. Allama Sakhawi rahimahullah mentioned about Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Our mother Siddiqa said that start on a Wednesday, get married on Wednesday, do this on Wednesday, do that. If you study our great great giants, you know, in the Hanafi school we have a kitab called Hidayah by Allama Marghinani rahimahullah. Marghinani is there in Uzbekistan. So Allama Marghinani, when he would start the academic year, so he would start on a Wednesday, start teaching the students. When we were studying in Karachi and all that, so Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimullah Madrasa Darulum Karachi, oh, in those days, now it's not like that, those days, 60s, 70s and that. So they used to open the madrasa on a Wednesday. I used to find it also strange. Wednesday, Thursday, then Friday's holiday. Then afterwards we saw this. You go to Jalalabad, Hazrat Nawarullah, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawarullah Marqadov. So same thing, the old students, they told me, Hazrat used to start the madrasa on a Wednesday. So remember, it's very good. So what you're going to do, my brother, is this, that tonight after Maghrib, after Isha, you read two rakah, and then you carry on the remainder of your life. I'm doing it for 40 years now, only more than 40 years, with Allah's help. So you must read this two rakats and say, Allahumma ij'alni min al-maqbooleen. Ya Allah, make me from your accepted servants. But we don't want for us only. We want for my wife, we want for the children, you want for the family. So you make it plural. Allahumma ij'alna min al-maqbooleen. So what must you do? You must have a timetable. And one book you must read, you say you're an alim, you studied all that. One book you must have, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda wrote, Qimatu Zaman Indal Ulama. How the ulama, they used to appreciate time. I just give you two, three incidents from there. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, great Sahabi, Faqihu Adil Ummah, when the sun used to go down, his face used to become somber and serious. His students would ask him, oh Ustad, why all this? Listen, itna pyara jumla. What he used to say? Naqasa fihi ajali, wa lam yazid fihi amali. Naqasa, nuksan. Naqasa fihi ajali. My lifespan is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Walam yazid fihi amali. And remember, my good actions and righteous deeds are not increasing. So do we ever think like that?
Allama Nawawi Rahimahullah, worldwide his kitab is Riyadu Salihin. So, and how many other books? The greatest scholar in Fiqh Shafi after Imam Shafi Rahimahullah. So, A'alam bi madhabi Shafi'iyya he was. So, you must remember he never got married. Now, don't go twist my words and say, I told you I don't get married. So, he said, I don't have time. We ain't got time for wife and go, all the children and all. He used to eat one meal a day. Allama Nawawi, one meal a day is to eat. Me and you, if you don't eat three meals, we'll go ballistic, you know. Hungry man is angry man. So, the Salaf al-Salih, today I use the same, this what I'm telling you now. I use the same thing, my wife told me something, so I told her, you know what, I got so much work to do. So, for me, time aghla min al-zahab, aghla min al-fidda. That for us, this time is more valuable than gold, silver and money. Understand this. Therefore, the awliyaullah, the khasan khuda, the special servants of Allah, they said wal-asri. Allah took an oath of wal-asr, time. So they said, how will you understand this time? You must look at that cube of ice. You see, we're entering spring tomorrow and then summer and all that. So look at that cube of ice. So that ice cube and wal asri, that's the tafsir. That every minute, every moment, every second, it is shrinking. So our capital is our time. So how, what you going to do out of? So you, my brother, you got that jazbah, you got this, very good. But you got wife, you got children, then you have to make mutala, study, you have to get income, all that. So everything, you have a timetable, and if you are sincere, and you cry to Allah, Allah maj'alna min al-maqbulin, then Allah will take you very far. One word of advice, never try and please people and violate the Sharia. That's where we go wrong today, you must remember. Khulus mehe fulus. Understand that sentence. Khulus mehe fulus. Make the khidmat of the deen sincerely. Allah will make the arrangements, everything for you. You must remember, your money, your house, your death, everything Allah will make for you. But who's prepared to do today? Very few. So that is where we are lacking. All of us, 90% of us are lacking.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, a person asks, when should one give up on one's marriage and resort to divorce?
Remember that our job is jorna, not torna. I always say that Quran, always, wasulhu khair, that reconciliation is the best. People like stories, I got time. My chacha, my kaka, we used to call him kaka. So you must remember, I don't think in his life he wore a kurta. I never ever saw him with the kurta or anything. Thursday night in the masjid, musalla there, they were making dua, the tabligh jamaat, and he passed away while they were making. Haji Bhai Padia used to tell me, because he heard about it, he said, aapke chacha ke maut par mujhe rashk aata hai. The way your uncle passed away, I'm envious of that, you know. That was his words, wabat, and I'm quoting, hubahu, as we say in Urdu. Cut long story short, so I started analyzing, you know. I know one day he came to me and said, you know what, I got so many qada, years and years, I want to make everything 100%. So I said, no, do like this, do. So he started his qada, everything, mashallah. But I said, this man must have done something extra. Then I start probing his life and so forth. So many marriages, you know, and he was, mashallah, big, you know, in size and everything. So he, the people would say that this marriage is finished now, you can't solve it. He used to go, you know, and speak to the husband, speak to the wife and do this. Now, if you take Quran, first, that husband speak to your wife politely, kindly. Secondly, stop the conjugal relationship. Third one is that fadribuhun, you take the miswak or ruler and tap her on the hand like that. You can't be assaulting her, and it is haram, obviously. Wife battering is haram. Just today's news I heard. South Africa is one of the worst countries in the world for gender violence. So when I heard it on the news, when I have breakfast and I switch on on the radio, you know, and I listened. So I'm wondering, 1994, they told us freedom. 1996, when the new constitution came, they said South Africa got the best constitution in the world. So what good is your best constitution in the world when after 20, 25 years, you must remember that you got the worst results in the world? Highest corruption, highest crime, highest gender violence, unemployment. We are one of the worst in the world. And so what good is that? It shows we are heading to becoming a failed state. So the results speak for themselves. So that is what Islam comes in. Islam will always be the savior. So Islam says no. That is husband, wife, you all tried. Now we bring outside help. So fourth step, who's the outside help? وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. So when you fear that now this marriage is on the verge of breaking, فَبْأَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Appoint arbitrators. Then get people who got common sense, you know. إِيُّرِيدَا إِسْلَاحَ. Both parties, the girl's arbitrator, that lady, that wife, and that husband, they should enter the meeting, the conference, whatever, but the intention is Islaha. We're going to make this marriage work. So he used to do that. I saw him, you know, he sorted out this marriage. I said, see, this job he did, Allah gave him such a death, subhanAllah. So that is now today with Tor 4, we finish it, bring the whole thing up. We say, they must just have one fight, one argument. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, husband, wife, the father-in-law also got no sense today, you understand? I don't say all, but many. They will tell the daughter, you just pack up and don't take no nonsense from them. I'm coming to pick you up. In the olden days, 40, 50 years ago, the mother, father of the girl would give advice, Betty, oh, my lovely, my beloved daughter, you got married and you are in that house there, so make sure your janaza also come out from there. In this zamana, they'll tell you that you don't take no nonsense from them. Now, you see, you call this inqilab-e-zamana. How times have changed. It's a foolish strategy that. So you must make the marriage work as far as possible. Wasulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. That is what Islam is teaching. Then as a last resort. Now today, just today, one Maulana phoned me. And he said, this husband here, he's sending photos and all these things here to young boys and other men. And all this kind of thing, like half gay or whatever, and Allah alone knows and what. So now, if that person is doing all these kind of things, then obviously, and he doesn't want to change, then you will have to look for another option. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salam said, abghadul halal. Ponder on the words. The most detested, most hated thing which Allah made halal. Abghadul halal ilallah at-talaq. So by Allah is divorce. So divorce should never be the first option. It should always be the last resort. Go for temporary separation, do this, do that, get outside help, whatever. So that is always our advice, remember. What's happening now is very, very unfortunate that you see, leave non-Muslim, you see Muslims, that the divorce rate is spiraling out of control. So always read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, read Rabbana Hablana Min Azwajina, ذرياتنا قرة أعين إن شاء الله الله جل وعلا is the one who controls the heart, and إن شاء الله the marriage will then be increased and enhanced and better, it will improve إن شاء الله. Okay, 12 o'clock will be the news, then our series by Sheikh Zahir Mahmood. So he's there in the UK, he studied by us also, our student with Allah's help. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and the series there, and then 1:30 to 2 we got Surah Kahf, and verses 21 to 22 we'll discuss today. 2 to 2:30 we got, you must remember that 1:30 today is Tuesday, no? So that 1 o'clock o'clock to 1:30, they wrote wrong here. 1 o'clock to 1:30 is Surah Kahf. Then 1:30 to 2 is Surah Yunus, and that is verses 41 to 45. That's from the archives. Then 2 to 3 o'clock will be Madrasa on air, Maulana Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of the Q&A, inshallah, what we had in the morning. 3:30 to 4, the Masjid Al-Aqsa in Palestine by Sheikh Hanif, and that will be in Urdu. 4 to 5, after the Asr Azan, Ulumul Quran. I spoke of this yesterday. It's a new series we started. Mufti Yusuf Mangera, mashallah, listen to it. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of today's tafsir of Surah Kahf, 20, verses 21, 22. 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. 8 to 10 will be Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, inshallah. And then 10 to 11, Maulana Ridwan Qaji. So may Almighty Allah make easy and accept us all. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say Jazakumullah to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners. We head on for the news now. Jazakumullah khairan.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.